personal foul. Unsportsmanlike conduct.
Astree tackled the quarterback. He's giving him business down there. That's a 15-yard penalty.
Well, Dal, it's your favorite episode of the year.
It's the most wonderful time. I don't know if it is, but I sure love the NFL draft. I started throwing a little get-together when I moved back. I was married. I had a little boy. I was about the same boat you are, except a couple years younger and even dumber. So you're like, hey.
Woohoo!
And it started out with just being like my brothers and some of my close friends, and it was just an excuse to eat high caloric meat, no veggies, no women, girls weren't allowed.
I appreciated that last year Mackenzie made those little pretzel nuggets that I enjoy,
uh-huh.
But no one else knew kind of what they were, so at one point I realized that people weren't picking at them. So until someone finally discovered them at the very end of the party, I literally brought the nuggets, put them on my own lap, and just got to scarf down all the nuggets by myself.
See, that's the thing. You were like brand new. I invited you out of courtesy last year. It's just kind of funny how it's...
pity invite.
Well, not even that. It's just like he's a nerd like me. He's going to be sitting at home watching it anyway. He might as well come. But it's funny how the draft has... my draft party has evolved somewhat. Sometimes it's been at my place. Sometimes it's been at a brother's house or a friend's house. I'm divorced now, so obviously that has been a change over the course of the draft party. It's interesting. It's been, and now down the road, this is the 23rd year that I've been doing this, which is nuts.
Second, 22nd, if you're me.
Yeah, or 22nd, somewhere. And it's gotten to the point now where some of the same people are the same, some of them are not. But it's very much go all out, tailgate food, bring something you don't even normally make.
And it is funny how king this proves the NFL is in our country.
Oh, yeah.
You wouldn't even consider, not even think about sitting down and going, oh, the MLB draft is on. I'm going to dedicate an entire night.
Let's have a party.
Yeah, I'm just going to, even if it's not a party, would you even just say, you know what, I'm bored on a Thursday night, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to watch the MLB draft.
Nope.
I'm going to watch, I will watch if the Blackhawks are in the top three after the lottery, I might watch their pick of the NHL draft. But I'm not going to watch the rest. I'm just going to see who we take and then I'm going to turn it off.
Here's the thing. The part that I'm always blown away by is the NFL draft, especially the first night of it, which is upcoming this Thursday, which is when I hold my little get-togethers. Party's probably a bit of a strong word. It's just men eating food and farting and belching and talking football. But
well, we call it a Super Bowl party.
But it's that night, especially the first night, the first round. I mean, it absolutely obliterates the playoff ratings for basketball and hockey and anything else that's on. I mean, this used to be just like nerds chain smoking in a room with a bunch of typewriters. And then eventually they brought in like helmets. It's like, ooh, let's put a helmet on the desk. Wouldn't that be cool looking?
And then some guy named Mel Kiper is there, and who the hell is that Mel Kiper anyway?
And that's like one of the funniest parts now is they go back to the early 80s and that beef he had with the owner of the Colts.
Do you ever go back, rewatch that clip, and realize that both the GM and Mel Kiper were both promoting a player that ended up being terrible?
Well, what's funny is it's not like the Colts owner was wrong when he said Mel Kiper has no more credentials to do what he does. My neighbor who's a postman.
And he doesn't even have season tickets to the NFL.
It's just, and yet now.
Do you believe that, by the way? Do you believe that this man who was easily a billionaire at the time was next door neighbors to a mailman?
Yeah, I believe it.
You think so? Don't think he was in one of those private neighborhoods with his giant?
You have to remember, NFL teams were not worth that much.
He was bare minimum a...
Oh, but he was
rich. A three-figure millionaire.
Oh, yeah. $100 million. But yeah, I could see... Yeah, it's not like now. It's not like Dan Snyder going, you know what? I want a better view of the Potomac River. I'm going to cut down 30 acres of trees so I can have a better view of my river behind my house. F you, environment. It's not quite like that. But.
No, but I still figured he lived in one of the nicer suburbs with the...
Hey, Warren Buffett still lives in the house he paid $28,000 for in the 70s in Nebraska, supposedly. So that's why he has billions of dollars. He doesn't waste his money.
But anyhow, so that GM was criticized so heavily for not taking Trent Dilfer. That's my main point.
Hey, Trent Dilfer ended up being a Super Bowl champion. So
Jim Harbaugh would have won that Super Bowl too.
I don't know.
When all you have is Jim Harbaugh, I'm not going to lie. Jim Harbaugh was a better NFL quarterback than Trent Dilfer probably was by the end of everything.
I don't know if he was or not. but anyway, that's like a whole other thing. But yeah, but it's a fun time of year because no one knows what's going on, but everybody thinks they're so smart. They're so smart that they're like doing CIA level misperception, misdirection stuff. It's hilarious.
My favorite is every year, right about now, we start getting all the last second. Oh, is someone higher than someone else on a board all of a sudden?
Oh,
we're overthinking it.
Oh,
did you see Chris Sims has Will Anderson as his fifth best pass rusher all of a sudden? All of a sudden. Will Anderson, the consensus best player in the whole draft.
If the NFL wasn't so quarterback starved, he would be the first pick. They would.
If the Bears hadn't traded the first overall pick, he would have been.
Well, even now, you go back 10, 20 years, the Panthers would have stayed the night at the podium to make sure they didn't miss their turn and pick that guy. But now. Oh, everybody is gambling on quarterbacks this first round, they don't learn either. In fact, you look at the recent completion of the trade with Aaron Rodgers to the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
And the Jets are like, oh yeah, Super Bowl baby, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, didn't you draft a quarterback number two overall 2 years ago?
A guy who did, and do we all remember the very hilarious The Ceiling of Zach Wilson? His NFL comp was Aaron Rodgers. Thought you already had Aaron Rodgers.
It's just, and I guess that's kind of what's fun about it, is there's such a bravado about the NFL that they still think they know what's going on. And you know what? There are some, obviously, that do.
My other favorite is suddenly we're hearing talks that there are several teams that have Jahmyr Gibbs, the Alabama running back, suddenly, because he adds whatever kick return and he's faster by a little bit, oh, we think he's a better NFL prospect than Robinson, the Texas running back, all of a sudden.
Yeah, than Bijan Robinson.
Like,
who is.
A week before. So they haven't done any drills.
Who's being called a generational talent.
There's no film that could have possibly just come out because we have access to every single second of field. And suddenly this week you've come to this conclusion. You didn't think this a month ago.
It's clickbait. at least that's some of it. But it's funny to me that even teams that are good, even franchises that are excellent at being professional football franchises, this is still such a crapshoot. I point to the 49ers. The 49ers are one of the top five teams in the NFL, top five franchises. They've got a very talented roster. They've got smart people in charge. They've drafted well. And yet, in the last 2 years, they reached for Trey Lance and then lucked out with Brock Purdy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's no other way to say it. Trey Lance may not even be an NFL quarterback, and they picked him number. They traded up to pick him number three overall. He played what, like 14 college games or 18, really, something like
really
that?
It's really hard for me to criticize that maneuver in hindsight, because I remember at the time, I think I had Lance as my...
I really liked him, too.
I want to say he was my QB4.
I guess that's what I'm saying. In fact, I was thinking he could be like a Josh Allen type.
And you know, you have... And I know that now it's cool to hate on him, but lest we forget...
Oh, I don't hate him.
No. Now it's cool to... This player I'm about to say.
Oh.
Now it's cool to hate on this guy. But lest we forget that there was a period where Carson Wentz was an MVP caliber talent. He came out of North Dakota State.
And he was a number two overall
player. We're finding these players all of a sudden. And so, yeah, maybe the 49ers said, well, if you think that you can go up and say, you know what, if Trey Lance turns into Josh Allen.
But I think it's gotten out of hand. And then now, I mean, they're not actively shopping Trey Lance, but they're taking calls on him because guess what? Mr. Irrelevant is Mr. Relevant. He took that job. Mm-hmm. That's his job now. You can tell by the way the players talk about him. You can tell by the way the front office talks about him. That is not Trey Lance's job. That was Trey Lance's job for about 30 seconds until he got hurt. And then Garoppolo came back and helped him have a winning season. And then they find this guy from Iowa State that, oh, yeah, I forgot we grabbed that guy, and he played in like 100 college games and knows what he's doing. I think he had like 80-something college wins. Someone might correct me on that because that seems really high. The dude played a ton of games.
Do you think that model, Brock Purdy, didn't wow anyone with his physical traits or his numbers when he was at Iowa State, but he had a lot of experience and he won, and that ended up being good enough to mean that he could come into the NFL and start and be competent and win football games? Do you think that something like that might have elevated, I'm forgetting his name, Stetson Bennett's draft stock?
Oh, maybe.
A guy that...
I don't know.
People were talking about he might not even get drafted because, his arm's not that strong. He's not really, like, needle accurate. His one redeeming quality is obviously Georgia won, and he played 4 years.
Yeah.
Well, oopsie daisies. Turns out we just had a guy like that, but on a smaller scale at Iowa State. He took the 49ers to the NFC title game. Maybe now, instead of 6th or 7th round, is there a team that you think could say, you know what, it's the 4th round, I'm going to get Stetson Bennett?
I think things are changing a little bit on some of these guys, because now instead of, I mean, they're still going to gamble. They're still going to gamble as long as they can gamble and hit on a jackpot like a Josh Allen or something like that. But I even look at Taylor Heinicke. Taylor Heinicke was not even in the league. He was sleeping on his sister's couch. He threw for 12,000 yards.
XFL legend Taylor
but
Heinicke.
But he threw for 12,000 yards at Old Dominion. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a shmitload of yards, man. The guy had a terrific college career. And that doesn't necessarily mean that you're a pro, but I still think so many times it's about fit and opportunity. And I think a lot of guys get about a half a second of opportunity in the league, while other guys seemingly get years and years and years of it before they finally, he's in his ninth year as a journeyman. I guess he's not going to be a starter. And then there's even some of those guys that fool you, like Geno Smith last year.
Yeah.
So it's just, I don't know. I love the draft because no one knows what the hell is going on. And yet everybody thinks that they know what's going on.
And refer
to the draft chart.
I will kind of add to that. You know, we finally got Dal after last year. You didn't much care for the USFL. We got you to watch the XFL this year.
I like the XFL this year.
So
it helps that my team has been good.
So AJ McCarron.
Are you really going to switch from the draft to this?
No, I'm just going to add it in.
Okay.
We're talking about guys that fool you deep into their careers. AJ McCarron, a career backup, right? He was a first-round pick by Cincinnati out of Alabama. Kind of was just a backup, ran around the league, goes to the XFL specifically because he wanted his sons to watch him play football.
I still roll my eyes at this.
You don't think AJ McCarron could have easily just been a QB2 on some random
team? I do think that. That's why I don't care how much you love your kids and how much you want them to watch you play. You're going to give up millions of dollars.
Well, he he's already got millions of dollars.
Does
maybe,
he?
Maybe he's a practical guy.
Maybe he's a moron. Yeah, I don't.
I think it's sweet. He says, you know what?
I think he's full of crap.
And now, so he goes out and he's going to run away with the XFL MVP award because he led the league in touchdowns, had like five interceptions. A pretty good year for a spring league quarterback. At this point, he's going to get offers to come back to the NFL. I think we can all pretty much assume that. And he went out in a press conference and basically said, ah, no, I liked it. That was fun. I'm coming back next year. I'm going to play for St. Louis again next year.
He's stupid.
Let's say he does it 2 years in a row, though. Do you think that if he absolutely dominates this spring league for two straight years, that some team that's like desperate for a bridge quarterback might give him the Geno Smith chance?
Maybe he has more money than I think, and he really doesn't need it. But
maybe he doesn't live in a big old house.
He's making $60,000.
That's a fine to play American in the XFL salary. You just got to play 10 football games and then you're done working for the year. That's not half bad.
Yeah, but do the same thing and make $10 million in the NFL.
Maybe.
No, there's no maybe about it.
As a backup, you're probably making the one. I mean, but yes, obviously that's a lot richer.
Heineke may just sign a $10 million deal.
All I'm saying is that I don't have access to AJ McCarron's bank statements.
I'll bet if we Google it, it'll come up.
I'm sure if his wife and he discussed it and they decided together that this was perfectly fine, I'm sure they're perfectly fine.
Whatever. Everybody in their marriage thinks they're perfectly fine. Please refer back to what I said a few minutes ago. AJ McCarron. Wow, he has a terrible haircut.
Well, that's...
Hey, net worth, there it is.
What's his net worth, baby?
According to celebritynetworth.com,
all right,
he is worth about $5 million, which, hey, that's pretty damn good. $5 million. I mean, I wish I was worth $5 million, but if a job came along and said, we're going to pay you double of what everything you own is worth for 1 year, you don't take that job because you want your kids to watch the XFL. That is bull pucky. No, I don't buy that for 1 second.
That is why every single person has different, whatever you call it, motivations.
Well, that means he certainly didn't go to, what's his degree in? It sure as hell isn't business.
Dal is anti-children. You heard it here
first.
I'm
not anti-children.
Dal specifically hates all children. Write it down.
I have two children.
Print it on a t-shirt.
Okay, R.G. McCarron got his bachelor's degree in what? Come on, tell me what it is.
Is that public knowledge?
I'm sure it is.
I mean, it could be if you've ever told anyone, but like the university can't just disclose that, can they?
It's like, not, there's no way it's a secret.
Surely A.J. McCarron would have to be the person who releases that information.
I guarantee it's out here. If I can find the stinking instruction book for a 79 Honda CR90, then I can find out what A.J. McCarron's degree is.
Anyhow, after that little tidbit, though, we'll head on back to the draft here. The Carolina Panthers, Dal.
He's a math major. Yeah. And it says he has a master's degree in math.
I'm not going to question A.J. McCarron and his dedication to wanting to watch his kids. The man has a master's degree. I don't. The man is worth $5 million. I'm not. The man played professional football. I didn't. He's allowed to do what he wants.
Wow. You sure act like you're going to run into A.J. McCarron sometime soon.
Hey, if I get A.J. McCarron on this show and he sides with me on every topic, you'll know that this is why.
If he comes on and I say he's full of crap and he chews me out, then I guess that's fine. But I'm still going to say you're an idiot then. If my information is correct. Anyway, back to the draft. I guess the main point is everybody's it's this big smoke screen. And by this time, it's like the presidential election. There's been a whole year's worth of crap. Mm-hmm. And 2 days before the election, it doesn't really matter. Unless, unless, you know, they happen to find that picture of you smoking pot in a gas mask, like Laramie Tunsil, who is now the league's highest paid lineman, by the way. So it hurt him on draft night, but it hasn't hurt his career earnings very much.
So speaking of some news last week, and you said you're not a fan of the deal if you're an Eagles fan, but Jalen Hurts became the highest paid quarterback in the NFL.
I don't even, it's gotta be because I'm a Reds, a Red Commanders fan or whatever.
Show just got canceled.
Yep, we're canceled now. It's got to be because I'm a Skins fan, because he even was amazing in the Super Bowl. In fact, if not for the defense, they win that Super Bowl and he's the MVP easily.
I truly believe that Super Bowl is kind of what finally swung me. I thought he had a good year. I went, all right, he's a better passer than I gave him credit for coming into this year, because he kind of looked like, I called him the Black Taysom Hill for his first two years in the league.
That is so rude. That's way more rude than anything I ever called him.
And like, I get it. People will try to point it. Well, obviously, it's because they got him A.J. Brown and It helps. You watched him throw a football. He did not look like the Jalen Hurts from year two that was throwing the ball end over end like a punt from time to time. Like, he looks like he spent the summer working hard, went out there. He seems like a nice guy, a hardworking, humble guy.
Well, he's definitely been humbled in his career, too. I mean, don't forget, he was, he got benched in favor of Tua, a true freshman, in the damn national championship game at Alabama that one year.
And I will try to give Jalen Hurts some benefit here. Every single person that's talked about it has pulled up the footage and talked about how impressed they were with Jalen Hurts getting bent. Can you even imagine, though, you're 20 years old, and you have all the pride that you're ever going to have. I mean, that's like the most prideful you're going to be in your life is right around that age. And you get benched in the biggest game of your life because you're playing like crap. And he spent the entire fourth quarter cheering for Tua.
I don't even know if he was playing that bad. They were just losing.
He was. Every time Tua came off the field, he and Tua went over to the bench and they started going through the tablet together. I mean, you know how easy it would be to just sit there with a scowl on your face go, oh my.
And say, up yours, freshman, good luck.
Yeah, you son of a such and and then Hurts going in. I know he had the fumble, and that fumble potentially turned the game around. That's unfortunate.
Yeah.
But Jalen Hurts played like, I mean, you want to talk about, I know this feels ridiculous because one of them's the greatest of all time in his sport and the other one is like the fifth best QB in the league right now, but Nick Sirianni compared him to Michael Jordan for their team. I would say that that's not typically true, but in that Super Bowl, that was somewhat of a Michael Jordan-esque, I mean, put the team on your back. I am going to take us to this Super Bowl if it's the last thing I do. If I have to break both my legs, I'll do it. And then as it turns out, he didn't really get his shot at the end.
We've,
but
we've spent the last, you know, singing his praises, but I guess the end of my thought is, I guess I'm still not sold. and that's nothing to do with him. It's more to do with me. I don't know. But we are in a quarterback-driven league, and if you think you have the guy,
you might as well lock him up.
And you've got to pay him early. Because you're seeing what happens if you don't with the whole Lamar Jackson thing.
And
you don't know what's going to happen with that.
I also think that teams are starting to realize, back in the day, teams were a little more, you know, protected like a dragon with their gold.
Yeah, you show us over 5 years and maybe we'll pay you.
And I think they're starting to realize, hold on a second, guys. The salary cap has gone up every year for 17 consecutive years.
And up and up and
up. We can pay him this right now, and it looks gaudy, and you think, oh, that $50 million a year, oh no. And then, you know, in 4 years, he might be like the ninth highest paid quarterback in football.
It's even less than that. Look at Josh Allen, who I think is making 43. Mm-hmm. And when he signed that, I think it was the second largest contract for a quarterback ever behind Mahomes. I think he's 10th now.
Exactly.
And that was like 2 years ago.
And so I think being the trend setter on this, teams are starting to realize that that is the model for future.
Yeah.
They're like, all right, it's because then in 5 years, it's not going to look so bad.
Well, but it's also so important that you want to get these guys and identify them and get lucky on draft day, draft weekend, and have them on that rookie contract to start with. And that's where we are. You've mm-hmm. got probably 10 years ago, this was probably one first rounder and maybe one other late. And now you're going to have probably five quarterbacks go in the first round. I would put money on the fact that there's going to be five quarterbacks go.
You think Hendon Hooker goes round one?
I wouldn't be shocked if someone pulls a trigger on him. But, okay, you're going to have Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud. That's the argument.
So
then you're going to have Will Levis. You have the Kentucky kid, Levis. Yep. You're going to have Anthony Richardson, who is the absolute crapshoot of the season.
Mm-hmm.
So there's four. You're telling me somebody else isn't? They're not going to talk themselves into somebody else?
How about Tennessee?
That's what I'm saying.
He went to U of Tennessee.
I could see it happening, and I could see him reach, especially at the end of the first round. I could see a team going, "Hey, we might as well take a flyer on him. We don't need it." I don't know. But they're overreaching, is what I'm saying, so, which is good for some of these other teams. If you have your guy, or at least you think you have your guy, you can have a chance to get one of the best players in the draft mm-hmm. that you normally wouldn't have gotten.
And the big thing in Chicago right now is, you know, with the whole racing thing, will Jalen Carter fall to 9? He was at one point considered, quote, the top talent in the draft.
Yeah, but now he's got some baggage.
And now there's the baggage, and there's all that discussion. There's also talk, people are reporting the Bears are trying to trade down a second time because Pittsburgh wants to come up to 9. Quote, if a specific player is still available, they apparently, according to about 3 Pittsburgh beat writers, the Steelers have finalized a trade in theory with the Bears to move up to 9.
So who do they want?
And that's the question.
Is it who Robinson?
And people are asking, is it Carter? Is it? I would be shocked if it's Bijan Robinson because they already have Najee Harris.
Yeah, but they don't. Yeah, but they replaced Connor with Najee Harris. I mean, they don't care.
Could it be a cornerback?
I don't know.
Could it be? Is it a quarterback? Have they already given up on Pickett? I don't.
I don't think so. I think they like Pickett.
And no one knows any of this. All we know, and the rumor is they'd give us 17, so we'd move back 8 spots. 49 in this year's draft, a second rounder, and next year's second rounder. Up 8 spots.
Which is a lot.
And if I'm the Bears, you have all these holes to fill. Yeah. So you take that in a hurry. The only question is, who's the player?
Yeah.
I want to know who I'm rooting for to fall. I want to know.
I don't know. but let's talk about this as we look. You know, again, the headline on ESPN as we record this is Bryce Young and his size. Bryce Young, he's not very big. I think he's barely 6 foot. Maybe 6'1", but as you pointed out before we came on the air, I think the biggest issue about him, no pun intended, is that he's less than 200. He's got to be bigger than 180, doesn't he?
That was his measurement at the combine.
Wow, really? Now, according to this, they have him listed at 6'194".
Oh, okay.
Of course, they might be. Oh,
I was going.
But everyone knew those numbers meant he was essentially stepping on a phone book, and that his weight was padded by a few pounds of Tuscaloosa ribs. That's according to Pete Thamel of ESPN. So, especially in the era that we are now in, and I think we are firmly in the concussion era now. Mm-hmm. In fact, we don't even know what this means because probably the most focused player that the spotlight's been on has been Tua. And we still don't know what his future is.
And Tua is a smaller
weight
quarterback.
And he's bigger than Bryce Young.
And he was about 210.
Yeah, he's bigger than Bryce Young. And he has had some moments where he has been flung to the ground like a rag doll. In fact, I'm going to bring up a nerd movie scene. So Return of the King,
mm-hmm.
the Hobbit movies, or the Lord of the Rings movies.
Yeah.
At the end of that, Theoden, the king of Rohan, he's on his horse, mm-hmm. and he's yelling at people, and the Nazgul comes and grabs his horse and then does like a, just whips him and his horse, and he, I mean, he like flings him like 50 feet and his horse and him, and that's basically what happened to Tua a couple of times last year. He got shot putted by some of these big NFL players.
And so that's
obviously one of the big question marks about Bryce Young.
And now I was going to mention this earlier, the shocking level of transparency the Carolina Panthers general manager has been showing about everything. Now we've basically got it confirmed. Bryce Young is going number one overall.
Yeah.
The Carolina Panthers have basically just showed their hand. Well, and I did appreciate there's a Carolina radio host. I found this clip on YouTube saying, you know, I mean, GMs do this all the time, and because this guy really wants CJ Stroud is his thing. But the guy started talking about, you know, it's a smokescreen. They want everyone to believe they're taking Bryce Young, and then they can come back and get the guy that I think's the number. And he's talking about now that's they're going to still take CJ Stroud. I'm like, this is the biggest cope I have ever seen in all my life. You don't need a smokescreen when you're picking first overall. They're not lying.
I guess what's refreshing about it is I think he probably realizes his job's going to boil down to this pick anyway. Whether this guy works out or not. If he works out, you're going to be fine. Mm-hmm. If he doesn't, you're going to be fired. It doesn't matter if you tell everybody what you're doing.
And the other part is he straight up told everyone exactly how the Bears trade went down today. And I found that hilarious. So I've got the rundown right here. He said, we approached Chicago at the Combine with an offer. And Ryan Poles mulled it over, but eventually got back to us and said he didn't want to do it. It was essentially the final deal. Here it is. It was essentially the final deal, but without the third first-round pick in it yet.
Hmm.
And Ryan Poles was adamant he wanted DJ Moore. I didn't want to trade DJ Moore. We love DJ Moore. He's a great locker room guy. However, then as we started polling other teams when rumors came out under the guise of us wanting to trade with them, we found out a lot of teams were in discussions with another team higher than us. We put two and two together and realized that the rumors that the Bears were talking to Tennessee and Indianapolis were real. I got a little nervous. I realized I needed to pull the trigger now. I called Ryan Poles back. I told him that I was going to add DJ Moore.
Well, here's the thing. You always hear about the analysts, and you'll hear this from the analysts this weekend at the draft. They'll say, if, and that's the operative word, if you're all in on a guy, if you think he is the guy, then you don't care what you pay for him. And I guess that's true of anything.
I guess
if you spend money on something and you're perfectly happy with it, and someone else thinks you overpaid for it, but you're perfectly happy with it, then what do you care?
Exactly. However, why would you go on public radio and admit that A, you just folded. You're like, yeah, I just ended up giving Ryan Poles exactly what he wanted. B, that the reason you did it was you got nervous because of rumors.
Well,
like now other teams are going to, I said this as a joke before we started the show. If I'm literally 31 other GMs, I'm trading with Carolina for the rest of time, and I'm just starting fake rumors to make them do what I want.
But I'll also say this. If he picks Bryce Young and Bryce Young turns out to be a star,
yes,
he's going to look like a damn genius.
For making the trade.
Right.
I say regardless, you shouldn't have been so probably open about what you did.
But subterfuge aside,
Batman couldn't have beaten that information out of me.
Yes, he could have. Don't even bring that up. That's like a whole other podcast. But so we're looking at it now. Let's kind of run down some of these. So it looks like Bryce Young is probably a lock at number one to the Panthers,
which is now muddied up number two, as there's this report coming out. Houston only cared about Bryce Young.
Yeah.
He's the only quarterback they wanted. So they've been open for business, and it sounds like if they don't get a trade done, they're taking Will Anderson.
Well, they probably should. I agree.
I think you take Will Anderson, you get the best player in this draft. Next year is the is the, and again, we've already talked about it, crapshoot, this and that. But in theory, it's the quarterback. They're talking about next year, oh, it's 1983 part two. It's going to be, you got Caleb Williams, you got Drake May, you got all these guys coming out. I mean, would you not just let Davis Mills steer your tank for one more year? You get Will Anderson,
especially,
and then next year you go get Caleb Williams?
Especially if Will Anderson is your fallback plan.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's possible that someone trades up and gives you a bunch of crap to trade up to number two.
And this is just baffling to me. Have you heard the rumor about Minnesota has called Houston? And they're trying to pencil in a move up to two, and everyone is going, you have Kirk Cousins.
The stuff I've read say they want CJ Stroud.
And
part of that is I think they feel like they've maxed out what they can do with Kirk Cousins. And
quarterback?
I'm kind of tired of the rap that Kirk Cousins has. Even back from his days with Washington, he had the same, you know, people would say the same thing about it. I'm like, do you realize Kirk Cousins is the only quarterback in Washington history? This is a team that's 100 years old that has a 4,000-yard passing season. He has three of them.
May I just point out that if you're the Minnesota Vikings, let's say you trade up, you get C.J. Stroud. What are you hoping for?
You're hoping for is that you can be just as good with the potential higher ceiling on C.J. Stroud's rookie contract to what you're paying. And you can take that $25, $28 million you're paying Cousins and do something else with it.
From a purely what you get out of your passing game standpoint, C.J. Stroud shows up. Let's say for the next 5 years, he gives you 30 touchdowns, sub-10 interceptions. He's given you 4,500 yards a year.
In other words, what Kirk Cousins does.
He's top five in QBR. He's top 10 in completion percentage. You'd take that, right?
You'd say,
what a five-year.
You've
already got it!
And it's a contract that's much easier to swallow than what Stroud's contract will be 5 years from now if he does do that. It's weird.
Your defense is terrible.
It's weird.
For the love of all that is holy, Minnesota, fix your defense. Actually, as a Bears fan, don't. Go draft C.J. Stroud.
Give Houston
Kirk Cousins.
And then you got teams like Arizona. Yeah, you have Kyler Murray, who you gave the bank to, which I thought was a mistake at the time. And I think I'm right in that at this point.
Yeah, so our Paris Johnson Jr. dreams as Bears fans appear to be gone.
And then you've got the Colts at number four, who have been almost as open and transparent as the Panthers when it comes to saying, we will do what it takes to fill this quarterback role.
And now just telling everyone how much they love Will Levis.
Yeah.
They're just telling people. They're like, I love that guy. That guy's the best.
If they pick Will Levis at number four, then you have got to start checking the Colts ownership for signs of dementia. Because that means in like back-to-back-to-back years, they have given away significant draft capital to try and fill the quarterback slot with someone who's not even close to being the answer. And even the only way that works out is if Levis turns into like one of a top five quarterback. Then you go, wow, wasn't that smarter than me? And how often does that happen? Hardly ever.
And now, and wouldn't it be funny too if Houston and Arizona both don't trade back and they just take Anderson and Paris Johnson, like the rumors say, and then C.J. Stroud is still there and they still go Will Levis?
Well, what if the Texans and the Cardinals take Will Anderson and Walker? And they say, screw the baggage, we're going to take him.
Carter, excuse me.
I'd be surprised if that guy drops out of the top 10. I really would.
Jalen Carter?
Yeah.
Well, we already know that some team has reportedly told him that if he falls to them, and so he said, I'm not taking any interviews with any teams outside the top 10. So some team in the top 10
gave him
some guarantee.
But this is one of those drafts that what's interesting is if you're a team that has your quarterback, quote unquote, whether you do or not, but if you believe you do, this is one of those first rounds, especially if you're in the first, you know, half. I'm going to say that because my team's picking 16th. Mm-hmm. You have a chance to get someone
much better than you normally would.
Probably would've. More elite than you would have normally got. And so I look at, like, the Seahawks at number 5. The Seahawks could get virtually anyone they want at number 5. The Lions, of course, the Lions might have a few more holes to fill now that some of their players are suspended for gambling. So
I think they thought that they had a potential real solid number one wide receiver coming into this year. And
yeah.
Well, you will for the second half of the year.
Maybe. You never know. The Raiders, talk about a wild card. You never know what the heck they're going to do. The Falcons, there's another one. These are all top 10 teams. And then, of course, your Bears at number 9. What is...
Or my Bears at 17.
Let's say your Bears are picking at 9.
Mm-hmm.
What is your... I shouldn't say dream scenario, because a dream scenario is...
Will Anderson falls to 9, like, or Chris Sim says.
Or you draft, or you trade back to 17 and you still get Will Anderson. You know, crap like that. But who do you think is there at 9, and who would you like the Bears to take?
So I've been very open about the fact that I think that, like you said, because I truly believe 4 quarterbacks are going before we pick.
Yeah, four in the top 10, I wouldn't be shocked at all. Yeah.
So I think there's so many players where I say reasonably, they could take any of them, and I could justify it in my head and go, you know what? That's a talented player. Regardless of position, you know, there's talk of would they take a cornerback, and there are Bears fans so mad. They're like,
Devin Witherspoon.
Yeah, they're like, well, we have 2 cornerbacks. Well, you know what? In the modern NFL,
never have too many.
3 is pretty solid, and people get hurt.
Isn't that funny, though? We go back a year. Remember we were talking about Wyoming playing Illinois?
Yeah.
We did not know at the time that Wyoming was going to be playing against a lottery pick at cornerback, which is hilarious when you think about it, because Wyoming's passing game was technically not even a passing game in that game. I think Witherspoon basically was eating a candy bar back there. But it's just kind of funny to watch. In 12 months, he's gone from, I don't know who that guy is, to he's going to get drafted anywhere from 5 to 15.
Well, and even if it's not him... he and Christian Gonzalez are very similar players.
Yeah, from Oregon.
They're both sound tacklers. They're both elite man-to-man coverage guys. You could take either of those. A name that has only recently popped up, because here's the deal, and you tell me, I guess, where you would fall in this. The names that have constantly come up on the offensive line are Paris Johnson and Skoronski. And it's because left tackles are valued higher than right tackles.
And Skoronski is from Northwestern, and you can't tell me that stuff doesn't matter at least
however,
a little bit.
However, did grow up a Packers fan.
It doesn't matter.
With the gross of all that.
It doesn't matter. He would be claimed by the Pack, by the Bear faithful, excuse my slip there. The other one I look at is Witherspoon, because he played at Illinois.
And he was a Bears fan growing up.
But I could see both of those... And you could have basically, you'd be happy with either one of them.
But here's the thing, and by the way, as a tidbit on that, Ryan Poles has already come out and said he went out and he got Sanborn because he was from the Chicagoland area. He went out and he got Edmonds from the Eagles because he was a Bears fan. Cole Kmet, Bears fan. Got all these players to add to his team because Ryan Poles, quote, believes that there is an attitude that comes with getting local players that they come to Chicago and they say it's different than if he were to draft a kid from Southern California.
Yeah.
Who's just like, well, yeah, I'm here because they pay me a lot of money to play football. There's a difference between that and, oh my God, it's the Bears.
Yeah.
It's my team. Oh, I'll break my leg in half to win a Super Bowl here. And there is some truth to that.
Yeah, you love to grab a guy like that.
Other player, though, that I was going to say, those players got the attention because people value left tackles higher than right tackles. A player that gets a little under the radar because he played right tackle his whole career at Tennessee. But did you know Darnell Wright had the highest Pro Football Focus grade of any tackle last year?
I did not.
And is a natural right tackle. But his draft stock was lower because apparently being a right tackle means that you're not as valuable as a left tackle. Except here's the thing, the Bears already have a left tackle. When we were talking about getting Skoronski or Johnson, we were talking about then moving him to right tackle. I would love to get Darnell Wright out of Tennessee, a natural right tackle, and the best fundamental player at the tackle position in this draft. And just day one, here you go. Here, right tackle, there you go. You and Braxton Jones are our tackles. We got our tackles solidified. Please don't let our quarterback and running backs get killed.
So I think Washington at 16 is going to take a lineman. It's going to be it very easy could be your Tennessee guy. It could be him. Mm-hmm. I'd love Broderick Jones. I'd love the Northwestern kid first, honestly. But
Skoronski,
he's not going to last that long.
Yeah, I feel like Skoronski's going to go top 10 because he can play guard as well.
But what's interesting is you've got some players out there that are going. So other than Bryce Young, who is the big question, and, you know, they're going to question his size, but he's probably going to go number one. But we've already touched on his name a couple of times, Bijan Robinson. The consensus thought in the NFL over the last 15 years, at least 10 years, has been you do not draft a running back in the first round because you can get him later.
And I will say there's one team, though, that if he's available for them, they've got a nice-looking roster already. Unless they want Jalen Carter to replace Hargrave. Can you imagine Philadelphia adding Bijan Robinson at 10?
There's already been the rumor that Philly was trying to pry Derrick Henry away from the Titans.
I think Robinson's a more natural fit for their offense, well, though.
Well, he's going to cost less. But here's the thing. It sort of reminds me of when Adrian Peterson came out, because that mindset was even kind of there when he came out of Oklahoma. There was the, well, should we pick him or should we pick... And it was, and when the Vikings picked him, it was kind of like, well, we're picking him because he is quote unquote a generational talent,
and
which is the same term they're using with Robinson.
I always point this out too. Minnesota didn't need a running back.
No, they didn't.
Chester Taylor was a 1,200-yard rusher the year before.
And then you could also make the argument, okay, that whole thing came and went. How many Super Bowls did you win with Adrian Peterson?
That's true, but
none.
I mean, I don't hold that against.
Well, I don't either. But what I'm saying is I think
if they had taken a right tackle, would that have won them a Super Bowl?
I think you've got to be careful justifying where you pick someone like that. And then again, I'm looking at the rosters, and I look at a team like the Texans. They have two picks in the top 12. And they're not going to use him number two, but Bijan Robinson at number 12? Maybe you do that. And they've got a good running back, but let's be honest, you can always be better.
I think, well, I wouldn't. I
guess what I'm saying is,
I know we keep ignoring them because of generational talent. I just brought up the Chester Taylor thing, but Houston really likes that Florida running back, the rookie from last year.
Yeah, yeah, and he's really good.
And if you're not interested in a quarterback, if you're Houston, you know what I would get for my young quarterback that I'm going to probably get next year? Because you're going to have your pick of him at 12. Michael Mayer is probably going to be there. Well, Jackson Smith-Njigba is probably going to be there.
Dream scenario.
I'm getting a pass catcher at 12.
Dream scenario for my secondary team. You're hoping Robinson lasts until the Bills pick him at 27.
I don't know that Buffalo needs Robinson specifically.
But you would add him. You'd take him in a heartbeat if he's there.
We just talked about it. They could take Gibbs, the Alabama. We're talking about this like he's the only good running back.
Oh, I'm not saying
draft.
That. But they're saying
Deuce Vaughn from Kansas State.
A lot of people say he's by far the best.
Yeah. Except for these reported mystery general managers that have come out of the woodwork yesterday.
Well, as a Washington fan, I would love to see an offensive tackle. For whatever reason, even though we suck and we've had our struggles with secondary, I always feel like it feels like a wasted pick when Washington uses a first rounder on a secondary player. It just
Never not if he turns into
It never seems to work
Champ
out.
Champ Bailey or...
Yeah, they traded him. Yeah. It never seems to work out.
How about Daryl Green then, if you
okay,
want.
That's not fair. He's my favorite player of all time. And that's going back ways. In fact, this is 40 years now. He was drafted in 83. Texas A&I Kingsville.
But there are three cornerbacks in this draft that everyone agrees are the three blue chippers. Would you say... You just said wasted. Let's say that there's just a slide. No one wants a corner. And one of those three, because everyone is saying any of the three could be the first corner taken and it would be justified. Let's say Devin Witherspoon, let's say Christian Gonzalez, or let's say Joey Porter Jr. fall to 16 and Washington says, well, we gotta. Are you saying you would not be pleased with any of those three guys?
What it boils down to is those picks don't excite me for some reason. And
I sometimes get excited for corners.
And
the way the league is now...
Hopefully they would be good, but I mean...
You got to play Philadelphia twice a year. You're going to want some cornerbacks.
But I also look at Washington the last 2 years. They have been absolutely decimated on the offensive line. Of course, a lot of that is losing your center, Chase Roullier, go Pokes. But it's
a very good draft for centers, by the way.
Well, they don't need one. They've already got him. But what I'm saying is I could absolutely see them going... lineman, secondary with their first two picks, and I don't know which is which.
And you know what's an issue, though, is I don't know what your safety situation totally looks like, but everyone is universally agreeing this is one of the least deep safety drafts in the history of the draft. So if you're a team that desperately needs a young safety, sorry, maybe wait a year. Although, we just mentioned Illinois earlier, Devin Witherspoon is corner, Sidney Brown... is the top-ranked safety in this draft, also out of Illinois. His brother, Chase Brown, is one of the higher-end running backs. He was second in the entire nation in rushing. Illinois, for a team that was kind of trailed off and disappointed everyone toward the end of the year, having a decent draft, at least, sending a lot of guys into the NFL. Good on you, Illinois. You got the Brown twins going in, and... So Devin Witherspoon.
I am going to just click the first mock draft that I can find. And then I kind of want to go down.
Can I also say, though, that as a Bears fan, every Bears analyst, fan, everyone has just been cranking a mock draft out a day.
Brad Spielberger is the contributor for this particular
one. I am so mock draft out by now. I need the real draft to just get here.
Well, it's almost here.
I'm so tired of these analysts giving me 107 of their favorite possibilities that could possibly happen.
So this is the Pro Football Focus, and they're using...
Oh, good heavens!
They're using contributors from every team.
I'm sorry. I looked at Houston at two. I'm already out.
Well, this is their. Now, granted, yeah, they could just be. This is their 100th mock draft, so they're
just getting fun with it.
You
now.
Know what though, Aaron? Would you be that shocked? Well, I guess we better tell people in this mock draft that I just pulled up. They have Anthony Richardson going number two overall to the Texans. But
just take Stroud.
But would it really be that shocking?
I would have Richardson. If I needed a quarterback, I would take him fourth.
There's something every year that happens in the first round that makes you scratch your head.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's why these mock drafts work. So these guys, they have the Panthers picking young. So I think that's
pretty much locked in at this point.
You know, it's so locked in, I'm almost tempted to put a wager on it. But then if I did, then he wouldn't be the first pick because that's how unlucky of a gambler I am.
If you put $100 down on Stroud right now, you could make $2,000 off that sucker. It's plus $2,000 for the second highest odds. Bryce Young's minus -400. It is a massive, massive gap between the odds for one and two.
So this particular draft, has Houston picking Anthony Richardson, which would be a huge surprise based on what we've seen. Then this same draft has Tennessee trading with Arizona to move up to number three to get C.J. Stroud, which I think if you're Tennessee, you'd be thrilled at that.
Probably, depending on how many picks you gave up.
And
to
then
up there.
They've got the Colts taking Will Levis at number four. Which means,
because they've already told everyone they're gonna.
Which means these guys, this Pro Football Focus has the first four picks being quarterbacks.
That is my literal dream. Oh, and then they ruin it. They're just going to give Detroit Will Anderson because they've decided so
they
Seattle
the
is retarded.
Okay. way to offend a bunch of people. So, yeah, this has Seattle getting Jalen Carter. Yeah, Will Anderson to the Lions. Oh, can you imagine getting Aiden Hutchinson and Will Anderson in back-to-back drafts?
May I just point out, though, why is it that people keep forgetting that Detroit also got James Houston last year?
Him, too.
Everyone keeps talking about, oh, because I've seen a couple mocks where they give the Lions Will Anderson. You can't have three edge rushers at the same time. You would waste your first round pick on getting a rotation rather than getting another starter?
I don't know.
That feels odd to me.
This has Witherspoon going number seven to the Raiders. Tyree Wilson, the Texas Tech guy, which the Wyoming Cowboys open up hosting Texas Tech this September. I'm glad he's not going to be on the field. According to this, he'll be in Atlanta as their first round pick.
Oh, and here's another one that I've seen some steam picking
Lucas
up for.
Lucas Van Ness. What do you think about that pick? A lineman, defensive lineman.
So they need defensive linemen real bad. I've heard a lot of steam, but the thing is, I've also heard rumors that Van Ness is interesting because he is such a raw talent. The thing on him is he is a phenomenal athlete with a high motor. He's very high effort, and he's high talent. But right now he only knows two pass rush moves. So the thing on him is you're getting a guy who literally he played the first half of his senior year at Iowa coming off the bench in the rotation, but still managed to get seven sacks on the year because he just overwhelmed Big Ten tackles with being faster, bigger, stronger than them. But right now he really only knows the swim move and the spin move. And they're saying at the NFL level, tackles are going to pick up on that. So it's a matter of whoever takes him knows they're getting a talented player with a very high ceiling, but you're going to have to train him on how to play NFL defensive end. So if you're a rebuilding team, though, that might be the way to go because you know you've got some years to do it.
Would you be happy in this particular mock draft getting that pick?
He's one of the guys I was going to mention earlier that is justifiable. I could come on this show afterwards and say, you know what? That is a talented player. He'll take a minute to get used to the NFL, but I think the Bears aren't trying to win a Super Bowl this year, so we've got a minute. The other part, though, is, you know, if you trade down to Pittsburgh or something, or Tennessee, in this one, Tennessee already traded up. You trade down with a team that wants to come up. Could you still get Van Ness in the mid-teens? Maybe. So that would be more ideal.
Yeah.
But at nine, it's justifiable.
This same draft has the Eagles picking Gonzalez, the corner out of Oregon, number 10. Skoronski going to Arizona as they traded back with Tennessee.
I think Arizona would be thrilled.
Yeah, I think so too. If you got
Although,
him.
Considering he's still on the board and Kyler Murray won't shut up about how much he loves Paris Johnson, if Paris Johnson is still there and the Cardinals take a different offensive lineman, I think Kyler Murray's going to throw a fit.
Which is
par for the course.
Part of the reason I don't like the guy. He does seem to throw a fit. Now, how do you say this guy's name? The wide receiver from Ohio
Jackson
State.
Smith Najiba.
Okay, I always struggled, and I didn't want to mispronounce it.
JSN, if you want to just say it faster. Going to Houston. Oh, that's what I said.
So yeah,
that's
Texans,
what I would do if I was Houston. I'd get my young quarterback a pass catcher there.
Here's your favorite team, the Packers.
Quentin Johnson. All right, never mind. I suddenly love this mock draft.
Wide receiver from TCU. Apparently, Aaron not real big on that one.
I am a little bit out on Quentin Johnston.
Joey Porter Jr. going to the Patriots.
All right.
Paris Johnson going to the Jets, which I don't like because I want Aaron Johnson or Aaron Rodgers to get knocked on his withered old can.
I am so glad that
long.
We are now both in the same.
Oh, he's,
welcome to the Aaron Rodgers hate bandwagon.
He's challenging my secondary team's division now. This has my Commanders, my Commies, taking Broderick Jones. I would be absolutely thrilled with Broderick Jones. The guy is a monster.
Stupid Pittsburgh. Taking my dreams away.
Yeah, then this has the Steelers taking Darnell Wright. The Lions going DB with Brian Branch. Bucks going line. I'm just trying to see. let's be honest, I'm looking to see where Jordan Addison going to the Vikings at number 23, according to this draft. This has, okay, hey, here
they
he is.
They have such a bad defense.
Okay, so here it is. This draft has Bijan Robinson dropping to 25.
To Cincinnati.
To Cincinnati.
And that one, again, you know, they have Joe Mixon.
They lost Samaje Perine. He went to the Broncos.
That offense would be insane. Oof. Insane.
That would.
And imagine if they don't trade Mixon. Imagine they just have them both. And yeah, they're just like, we can do whatever we want out of the backfield.
Are they looking at trading Mixon?
No, I'm saying if they got Robinson, I think people would start to speculate trade Mixon.
I think they'd use them both.
But yeah, I mean.
That would be interesting.
AFC title game, Chiefs, Bengals, just book it again, I guess.
The other thing that you and I haven't talked that much about is the who's the best tight end. Obviously, you love your man from Notre Dame.
I will never stop talking about inventor of sex, Michael Mayer. The greatest tight end of all time.
Here's what's interesting. This draft does not have him going in the first round.
That is despicable.
And the reason I bring that up is they've got Utah's Dalton Kincaid going to Dallas. Please no. but then you've also got the Buffalo Bills taking Zay Flowers from Boston College. He's a wide receiver
who the Chiefs are very high on.
I
would, if you're Buffalo, are you doing that strictly because you're like, well, we kind of need a receiver, but also Chiefs, we stole your guy.
Well, probably both. And they let, who's the one that just walked? I get them mixed up, some of their.
Now, I know Allen's kind of a gunslinger, deep ball, gung-ho, and their current tight end is okay. I mean, if you're Buffalo, would you not consider
Mayer? I really like Dawson Knox.
You wouldn't even remotely consider getting Josh Allen a Kincaid or a
in fact,
Michael Mayer.
I don't know that they're any better than Knox. I think Dawson Knox is a very good tight end.
I think Michael Mayer has a ceiling that's as high as any tight end prospect that's come out. I mean,
I guess you could do it and then do some two tight end sets.
I mean, teams have
why not
gone to the Super Bowl with two tight end sets being their primary.
Washington.
Even recently, remember the Eagles in 17 using Burton and Ertz in literally every play.
Anyway, it's just kind of interesting to go through this.
The Patriots.
Kind of interesting to go through this draft. And again, this, like I said, this is just one mock out of many. But it's going to be a fun draft, Aaron, because I seriously do think you – I don't think it'll be top four quarterbacks – but I absolutely wouldn't be that surprised if that's what they do, which is what this one did. I just think that would be a terrible decision by at least two teams if if they go top four quarterbacks.
And Levis is so baffling to me because it's hard. I first of all, full disclosure, did not watch a single snap of Kentucky football this year. Okay. Disclosure.
That's fine.
However, I feel like I've seen this movie twice before, and it's gone in both directions. Will Levis is the guy who had a really good year 2 years ago. Then all his teammates left. He was left with nothing and had a bad year. But has all this talent. He's got a rocket arm. He's mobile. He's big.
Yeah, he is a big guy.
He's, quote, a leader. People like him. All his teammates say he was the second highest score on that, they call it the B2 or the C2 cognitive test. Which, by the way, I'd like to point out to the Bears fans out there that like to say one of Justin Fields' negative attributes is people in Chicago like to call him dumb. Like to say that he's a dumb quarterback. Which is, it's wrong. It's incorrect. And may or may
possibly
not
racist.
Be related to the color of his skin. He set the record. They started issuing that C2 test in 1995. It's literally just a cognitive, how quick can you process information and then give it back to us test. And it's supposed to, you know, simulate on-field intelligence, reading ability. They make every quarterback take it. Ryan Fitzpatrick infamously scored very high on it until Fields broke his record.
Went to Harvard.
Justin Fields scored the highest in history until Bryce Young scored a 98. And this is out of 100 this year. Fields had scored a 95, which was the record. Bryce Young is now the highest scorer on that test.
So what does that do with Will Levis?
Will Levis, the second highest in this class. So, from an intelligence standpoint,
I don't buy that. I also think that these guys have practiced it now.
Have you, and I don't know if you saw the leak. They leaked all the scores from it.
Yeah, CJ Stroud scored
18.
18%.
Well, if he scored an 18 on his actual tests, then it's a good thing he's good at football.
Which I think he's probably much smarter than that.
I'd like to believe so. First of all, and I know we all roll our eyes at it, and we all like to believe that, oh, yeah, I'm sure, because there's no ways around it. But I still like to give some credit under the theory that people follow the rules from time to time. There is a 2.3 Division I athlete requirement. Your GPA cannot fall below 2.3. And he never got an academic suspension, so Stroud is at least above average in schoolwork. And maybe his grades are going to get released.
For all I know, he did great.
I don't know. All I know is he got an 18 on the C2. People are making a big deal about it.
Well, like I said, it's because everyone's looking for anything at this point, including us.
Yes, we're talking about it.
But we're out of time.
All right, should we run down real quickly what's happening in the rest of sports since we...
I guess really quickly.
Okay. Professional baseball. Shohei Ohtani. 2 years ago, we were talking about how fun it was that we're like, I mean, he's the best hitter in baseball. And, you know, he's a serviceable pitcher. So that's fun. He's a serviceable pitcher. And now...
Oh, he's a flamethrower, dude.
He's an above... I mean, he's not the best hitter this year, but he's...
He's one of the best in the league.
Top 20.
Though. Yeah.
And he's the, statistically, he's had the best start of any pitcher in baseball. He's got a 0.64 ERA, leads the league in strikeouts.
Look at that nasty crap he threw at his teammate in the baseball classic. Holy crap. That was filthy.
Well, and a couple of those were just straight up, I can throw 100 miles an hour, try to catch up to it.
Yeah, you're not going to hit this.
The stuff he was throwing the other day, I believe he had a 13 strikeout game, 7-inning game. I don't remember who they were playing, but it was his last outing. I mean, he was... First of all, he's added a new pitch to his arsenal. He can now throw a sweeper, which is a pitch that we've only decided to identify 2 years ago, but has actually probably existed for like 30 years. We just used to say, oh, his curveball moves a little to the... It slides a little. Finally, we've decided that we're like, you know what? It's a curveball and a slider at the same time. We're just going to call it a new thing. It's its own pitch now.
It's a collider.
Yeah, so now Shohei Ohtani just learned how to do it this offseason. He throws a sweeper, and my God, it's filthy. It's got like 45 degrees of break on it. It's ridiculous. Ohtani, you want to talk about an athlete with no ceiling. He's been insane to start the year. My poor White Sox have done the opposite. My goodness, everyone's on the injured list. Can't win a game.
I'm actually more excited for the fact that Salt Lake is probably getting a Major League Baseball team than anything to do with the Rockies in the last 15 years.
It's because it frees you. You're like, yes!
I'm excited. I think that should be fun.
Yeah.
They might get hockey, too. Who knows? We might be getting baseball and hockey within 3.5 hours of us. Never thought I'd see that.
Speaking of hockey, the NHL playoffs are in full force. None of the series have concluded yet in round one, and they continue to show why they are the best postseason.
The stupid Kraken last night. I really thought the Avalanche, Rantanen had 2 goals in the second period. The Avalanche were down 2-0, and I'm like, he's going to get the hat trick and they're going to win. And it just didn't work out that way. So, you suck, Kraken.
Series tied 2-2. And it's kind of why I enjoy the NHL playoffs, is you've got two series featuring a 1 seed going up against the 8 seed. Both of those series are currently tied 2-2. No, sorry. The other one was the 2-7.
Speaking of which, if you want to flip over to baseball, or to basketball, the Milwaukee Bucks, you and I were just talking about that before the show. They're one win, one loss away from being eliminated by the Heat. Mm-hmm. And Jimmy Butler went off 56 points on Monday night. Holy schmoly. And all I can think of is the Bulls let him go. They drafted him. The Bulls drafted Lauri Markkanen. They let him go.
Though, to be fair, he was kind of terrible in Chicago.
I don't know that he was terrible. I saw flashes.
Yeah. He wasn't what he is now, though.
Yeah, that's my point. They keep screwing it up.
If it makes you feel any better, the White Sox once traded Fernando Tatis Jr. when he was in our Double A.
Oh, that actually does make me feel
for
better.
Cash, for money. We're like, here you go. Here's this prospect. We don't really like him that much.
For an Applebee's gift card.
Yeah.
What else?
Well, you know what? We hinted at it earlier. How about the XFL playoffs are this weekend, Dal?
Defenders.
So the final four teams, by the way, the XFL needs to shore up its, A, its playoff system, B, its tiebreakers. That was the talk of Twitter.
Yeah, it was sketchy.
The entire thing. They decided that their tiebreaker system, after head-to-head and division record are both used up, and they're like, all right, St. Louis, rather than just going point differential, like every sporting league in the history of human existence goes by as the third tiebreaker, they did it into overall ranking on points for and points against as two separate things. And then you add up what their ranking is, as in like 1 through 8 among the... it's just a point differential. One of them's plus 47. The other one's plus 55. The team that's plus 55 goes to the playoffs. How hard is that? It's so easy.
Don't yell at me.
Don't mathematician this.
Maybe they should get... AJ McCarron to deal with it. He's got a math degree from whatever.
AJ McCarron, speaking of, his team went 7-3 and my Renegades made the playoffs at 4-6. His Battle Hawks are sitting out. So it's my 4-6 Renegades against my cousin Jack, Hillbilly Likes Pie from Fantasy Football.
I do like that.
We will battle in the South Division Championship.
Who am I playing?
And your Defenders are taking on McKenzie's Sea Dragons.
No offense, I'm going to beat your wife.
Dal Erickson wants to beat my wife. You all heard it here. Put it on a t-shirt.
Yep.
The USFL kicked off, by the way.
Yeah, I'm still getting into that. You're going to have to forgive me. I'm still working on that.
It is funny, too, because this week your Defenders take on her Sea Dragons in the XFL playoffs. And your Generals take on her Panthers for first place early in the season.
Wow.
In the North. So they're playing at the same time. No, both just, yeah, that's funny.
See what happens, I
Interesting.
Guess.
I was discussing it with one of the people in my group chat of Bears fans, who also happens to be a spring football watcher. And we were discussing, you know, which league have we enjoyed most thus far? And for you, it's A, been that you picked a team in the XFL that immediately was the best team in the league. That probably helped.
Plus, they do the beer snake.
And the home stadium.
They throw lemons at things that they don't like.
They had that Dwayne The Rock Johnson money, and they were able to get 8 stadiums with distinctive fan bases.
I liked that they had their own fan base.
There were 3 fan bases, and none of them were my Arlington. Shame. But that's okay, because I understand that in every other sport except XFL football, I probably hate all those Arlington fans.
Probably.
So, but anyhow, 3 fan bases that always gave me a chuckle. Obviously, St. Louis, by just having a lot of people at their games all the time and being loud about it, that's fun. DC for throwing lemons and building beer snakes, and their stadium being built vertically instead of across with the seats for some reason.
Yeah.
Like, they have a whole sideline that doesn't have seats on it. And they're just like, we're going to make each end zone go up, double.
Yeah, like straight up.
Like, that's all right, you weirdos. I love it. And I'll mention McKenzie's team against Seattle, who is known for, they got an MLS team and sold it out the first game. Seattle is much like the Bostons, the Chicagos, the Philadelphias of the world. They just give us sports. We will eat it. They got an XFL team. They had 2 games where they specific. I don't know how they did it, if it was just organized or if they were handing them out at the door, but I don't care. It was funny. They have a whole section in 2 different games this year where every single person in that section was wearing the fuzzy full-body pajama dragon suits.
I did see that.
It was a whole section of pajama dragon suits, and I went, all right, you guys are fun. That I like fun fans.
That is kind of fun.
The USFL struggles with
that. I like to pelt
that.
Them with a bucket full of lemons.
they won't get that until next year. But one thing I was intrigued by, I root for the New Orleans Breakers. By the way, both of these leagues, I literally picked my team based entirely on uniform, which I still chuckle at. Clearly, I like blue.
Guess so.
But New Orleans will be playing home games finally next year. And right now, the odds favorite for the stadium that they're going to rent to be the Breakers' home stadium is the Superdome.
Hmm.
The old Saint Superdome.
Wow.
So...
The one that was infamously...
Well, yes, but it was renovated.
I know, but still.
Anyhow.
That thing's got to have ghosts in it.
I don't know. There's something that would be mildly fun about watching them play in, like, the Superdome. After watching them play in that minor league Birmingham stadium for 2 years. And,
yeah, it would be kind of odd.
You're in the Superdome. Michigan's already playing at Ford Field. And I said, you know, they started off 2-0. I said, would it be even a little chucklesome if they, like, won the USFL title this year and they were the most successful football team that plays at Ford Field?
That would be bad, because some pretty lofty aspirations for the Lions this year.
But yeah, T-shirt supremacy on the line in the USFL. But yeah, we were discussing it, and I said, the XFL had the stadium thing, and I know this is so, like, superficial and petty, but I am definitely this fan. I said, there's something about the USFL I just enjoy more, and it's entirely, I called it vibe based, and I think it's that Fox does the games instead of ESPN, and I just think Fox does a better broadcast than ESPN does for football. And I do enjoy the fact that the USFL, I said they have what I call more pro looking uniforms. Have you noticed that? Do you think that the XFL looks like arena uniforms in a way? That's just a personal. So it's literally my entire preference for the USFL is just from a visual standpoint.
That's okay.
I'm like, I like the Fox broadcast, and I like that the uniforms look like NFL uniforms.
It all adds to the flavor, the stew.
We just need to get the fit. So right now we've only really got, because they split it into four hubs. So there's only four teams, and really only three, because for some reason Pittsburgh and New Jersey play in Canton. So neither of them really get much of a fan base coming out. Michigan sells good tickets because they play at Ford Field. Philadelphia has to play their home games in Michigan. You think that are rooting for Philly are going to go fly to Michigan to watch their USFL team?
Nope.
No. New Orleans got almost no crowd in Birmingham because, again... You might do that if it was like your NFL team, your MLB team. People aren't going to travel across state lines for spring league football.
Probably not.
So we need to get to that point. We need to get to 2024 where everyone is in their own home city.
Agreed.
Because having only three dedicated fan bases coming out to games is admittedly meh.
Well, but it might cost them the league.
Maybe, but I think having done it for 2 years, they should have saved up money by now.
Yeah, they should have done a lot of things by now, but we'll see what they did. All right, Aaron, we got to wrap her up.
All righty. So we'll catch you guys, well, when we can. I always say every week as a habit.
We're back now. We've had some things but we're back up. Now. We're back now.
So the draft coming up on Thursday should be fun. Everyone's excited. Come Sunday, every single human being that has ever watched football is going to claim that their team is greatly improved.
We got an A on our draft grade.
They all, even the teams that don't, that are like, I know Mel Kiper gave us a super F minus minus, but I liked our draft.
He's wrong.
Yeah, I think every team going to do it.
He has more credentials than my neighbor who's a postman
and doesn't even have season tickets to Unsportsmanlike Conduct's podcast, which you can catch on Spotify, on YouTube, and on svinews.com/podcasts. See you all next time.